When you say it's clear that the government is becoming more fragmented, what do you see specifically that leads you to believe that?
Well, there's a lot of evidence in Tripoli now that there appears to be no chain of command. Let's start from the top. Let's look at it from the regime point of view. This is a city which is supposed to love Gaddafi in its millions. This is a city which is supposed to be obedient to the regime, and the city which has not shown any protests towards the regime at all. This is the regime line. And this is a city which is being told that it's being invaded by crusader forces, by forces which want to manipulate and exploit our riches. And this is a city that is being told to be defiant and to come out and show its support for the leader. Where is this leader? We haven't seen him in public speaking for weeks on end. We get images of him sitting in a bunker. We hear recorded audio messages of him ranting, and we see no audio but video sequences of him meeting people we've never heard of or foreign delegates such as President Zuma. But where is he? How is it that he is not addressing his beloved? Why is he not addressing the nation? It's very similarly Saif, considered to be the second in command, or Abdullah Snoussi, considered to be the third in command. Where are they? Where are our so-called leaders who are supposed to lead us into defiance against these crusader forces? But let's look a little bit closer into the microstructure. Few people that I know have been arrested, as have thousands and thousands of others in Tripoli. And from the interrogation and from the handover from one unit to another, between capture and release, there is a distinct consensus when speaking to all those that have been arrested. The interrogators do not have a clue what they're interrogating about. There does not seem to be a direction as to what it is they are trying to establish. There appears to be a total absence of structure and law or organization within the regime and the security apparatus. And this, to me, is evidence that it is just crumbling. You have to know that before this uprising, this was a country void of vital institutions, void of the rule of law, void of all essential things that define a state. And now, after 4 months of uprising, after a few months of NATO bombing, this country is even more void of political institutions and political frameworks. It's very gang-like in Tripoli when it comes to security forces. There are various groups, okay? There are regular police, and there are the Katiba forces, and there are military police, the ones that wear the red berets, and there are people that just carry Kalashnikovs, that seem to be wearing civilian clothing. We don't know who... it appears to be the Katiba forces that have the upper hand. And even within themselves, there is now a lot of conflict because they are undermining each other. And this is another demonstration of the fact they don't seem to answer to anyone. They seem to answer to the principle of jungle law. Katiba forces are fighting police forces on a daily basis. We've witnessed shootouts, arguments, fist fights between security forces themselves. I mean, it's understandable. For decades, as you would expect, the security of the city was handled by the police. All of a sudden, there's an uprising, and these Katiba forces, these so-called elite forces of Libya, tasked with protecting the regime, suddenly turn up with their Toyota Tundra trucks on the city streets, enforcing what they interpret to be the law, and suddenly the police have no power, and this is causing conflict. If there was any kind of command structure, if there was any kind of organization, then this kind of internal wrangling wouldn't be going on. There would be a clear structure of command, a clear hierarchy as to who's in control from a security point of view of this city. But they're not only fighting us, they're very much fighting each other. It's largely territorial, and I think ego plays a big part of it. These are very unprofessional, ill-trained forces, and the conflict between them is as much ego-based as it is territorial.
When they do conduct operations that you see, how do those operations appear to be controlled?
It appears haphazard, to be honest, John. I mean, let me give you an example. Very recently in the Busita district, we witnessed a man in civilian clothing with a Kalashnikov approach security forces in the district and fire at them repeatedly before escaping on foot. Now, this was really interesting to see, more so from gauging the response of the security forces. Now, these were Ketiba forces, so the so-called elite. They fell to the ground upon being engaged, and then for about 20 to 30 seconds afterwards, they appeared to just look at each other, wondering what to do next, until after about 40 seconds, 45 seconds, someone on their own, independently, decided to get up and run after the man who had escaped into a side street, upon which you could see other people trying to goad each other, trying to encourage each other to support the guy, support the other security guy, and also take chase. And it was like a ragtag gang who was trying to encourage each other to do effectively their job. They were scared. They were ill-prepared, ill-trained, unprofessional. At no point did I see any kind of radio contact being made. At no point did I see any attempt to put the district or the area under lockdown with checkpoints or anything like that. When a group of them finally got up and took chase, another group jumped into the trucks and started to make a lot of noise, wheel spinning out from their parked positions in an attempt to speed off and try and find this guy who had escaped on foot. 5 minutes later, they all came back, heads down, hands empty, failures, basically. And this shouldn't happen. A lone gunman on foot, engaging security forces in the stronghold of Gaddafi, where Katiba ruled the streets, it was embarrassing for them.
That's a very interesting story. Would you say that it's representative?
I would say it's certainly representative of what I've seen, what I've heard, and what my experiences are. I can obviously not talk about a lot of the other things which happen in and around the city, but I know now firsthand that Katiba forces largely avoid certain districts at certain times, namely at night, and namely district of Sugjuma. They don't go into these districts at night for fear of being engaged. From their point of view, there should be no fear of being engaged. They are supposed to be the apparatus which is bringing security to this city. This is their stronghold. You shouldn't be fearful of going into certain districts at certain times. This shows how weak they are, and how strong, or how much stronger the opposition is getting.
What is the mechanism by which the state is still trying to, or these groups are still trying to show that they maintain control?
It's very crude, John. It's really very crude, very macho. I can only describe it that way. It's a very overt show of strength and power, carrying the guns, driving around in big trucks, making a lot of noise, heavy checkpoints, visible presence. When NATO bomb, people go up rooftops as a sign of dissent and opposition to the regime and support of NATO, and they begin to whistle, cheer, support, clap, and say Allahu Akbar. This is developing and becoming more and more and louder, if you like, over the days. And what security are doing now, and I watch them do this, is that they walk through districts, randomly shooting into the air with shotguns, Until this uprising, I had never seen a shotgun, let alone heard one. And they are very, very loud, very intimidating. And it's to discourage any notion of anyone coming out in the streets. They did this on the night after the intense NATO bombing as well, because there was some indication that there might be some activism on the streets as in opportunistic fashion after the bombing by NATO. So they took to the streets after the security regrouped, and they were just shooting in the air, in side streets, on main roads, in alleyways, just to discourage any notion of dissent. It's very intimidating, and that's the way they go about enforcing the law, through intimidation and brutal acts of force. The other way they maintain strength, if you like, is through arbitrary arrests throughout districts indiscriminately. Every day, youth are being arrested on a mass scale in an attempt to discourage any kind of activity and encourage distrust between groups that are active.